One of the things the scriptures make very, very clear with many infallible proofs is the lordship of Jesus Christ. When he was here among men and walked in flesh, he proved himself to be the Messiah. We have a variety of different accounts, gospel accounts, and Matthew, who was a Jew, he was a Jewish tax collector that got saved. His main focus, it seems like the main thrust of his entire gospel account, is to prove that Jesus Christ is qualified to be the Messiah of the Jews. And as he went through and he was doing that, he revealed a variety of different things about Jesus, but one particular thing that he showed in chapters 8 and 9, if you want to turn your Bibles, I'm going to preach to you just for a few moments from the 9th chapter of Matthew. In chapters 8 and 9, he began to show how that Jesus had power and proof of his messiahship in the miracles that he did. I mean, chapter 8 and chapter 9, it's a window of miracles. And the Holy Ghost is using Matthew to prove the Messiahship of the Lord Jesus Christ in the miracles that he did. He had authority. If you look in like chapter 8 and you begin to go through the variety of different miracles in this particular section of the Bible, he healed the leper. Jesus had the power to heal a man who had leprosy. You move on to the next miracle in chapter 8, and you see where that he was able to heal the centurion's son. Then he healed Peter's mother-in-law who had a fever. I mean, he was able to bring healing into the physical realm. I mean, physically, Jesus had the power to heal. He still has the power to heal today. I like the doctor that simply said, "I treat my patients, God heals my patients." Amen? A doctor that has the right spiritual perspective. And it's still that way today. The hospitals, the doctors, the nurses, they treat, but God is the God that heals. All healing, if the scratch on your arm heals up, I don't care how much Neosporin you put on it, it is God that brings the healing. Amen. And I think we ought to, those of us that know that, ought to give God credit where credit is due. But Jesus had the power to deal with things in the physical realm, the natural realm. He was able to walk. He was able to control the wind and the sea in this particular section of the Bible. Jesus Christ had the power to control the winds and the sea. The winds and the seas obey him. He controlled things in the physical realm, in the natural realm, in the supernatural realm. He cast out devils, demons, in the demonic realms, in the principalities and powers and rulers in the dark places. Jesus had superiority over them. He had control over them. He cast out the devil out of the man that had many demons, and they went in the swine. They fell into the sea. Listen, Jesus not only had power in the natural realm, he also had power in the supernatural. It seems as though the Holy Spirit is putting things in place, synchronizing things. The same account that we read in the 9th chapter is also given to us in the Gospel according to Luke. It's given to us also in the Gospel according to Mark, in Mark chapter 2. They don't put it in sequence or in a series of miracles like Matthew does. But what he's telling us is that Jesus has authority. He has authority over the physical. He has authority over the natural. He has authority over the supernatural. He has all authority in heaven and in earth. And it just concludes, the book of Matthew does, with that very statement by the Lord Jesus Christ in the 28th chapter of Matthew, where Jesus said, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." He has authority.
Now, there are certain things that he has authority in, certain areas that he has authority in. He's the only one that has authority in these areas. So we have the natural, we have the supernatural, we have in the spiritual realm. Now we're going to talk about in the spiritual realm of man, things regarding us. There's some things that only the Lord Jesus Christ can do. And as I read these verses, I know there's been a lot of sermons preached from the ninth chapter of Matthew and Mark chapter 2 about this particular healing. There's been a lot of emphasis. And of course, if you read the account of Luke and the account of Mark, we find that Jesus was at Capernaum. And see, Mark was very detailed. If you know that about the writings of Mark, Mark is detailed. He gives you numbers. He gives you dates. He gives you places. He gives you a lot of details about the circumstance. And we know that even the place, Jesus was at Capernaum. We know that he was in perhaps the house of Peter. The house was full of people. There were so many people in there, nobody else was able to get in. We know that there was one that was born of four. That's the way Mark puts it. One that had this the palsy, that had this inability to walk. He was being born by four men, and they came to the entrance of that house, and they were unable to get in, but they sought out means to get him to Jesus. And people, that's what we need to do. I've heard a lot of sermons preached about this particular event, this particular story, this particular healing that Jesus performed in his ministry. I've heard sermons, one sermon, one born of four. That was the title. There was one that preached a message one time. I think it was entitled, 10 men, 10 legs of one man or something like that. I mean, we've heard sermons that throughout the course of revival services where this particular passage is brought into view, because we see that Jesus saw their faith. Not just the faith of the man that was sick, but he saw the faith of those that were endeavoring to get him to Jesus. Listen, there's something that came to me as I was praying last Wednesday night as we were knelt on the altar. And it was the sermon that I'm to preach to you and the subject I'm to present to you. And I don't want to put a lot of things around it. I don't want to put a lot of things on it where that you don't get the message. Listen, if we're going to have revival, we're going to have to exercise faith in the Lord. As Brother Doug was teaching this morning, another thought came to me that came to me a few Sundays back when I told you that your holiness is more important than your health. And I had written on the side of my notes when that came to me, people at Victory are hearing things that they won't hear anywhere else. People won't tell you that. You're hearing things here, you don't hear any anywhere else. That's why you got to go to the house of God and hear the preaching of the Word. We've got to have faith in the Lord. How many times throughout the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ where he said, so be it according to your faith. Listen, there's been many times in the ministry of Jesus as we read the gospel accounts where that he healed people, some that didn't have any faith, some that had little faith, some that had great faith. But listen, he never saved anybody without faith. So I guess the subject or the title of my message is, I want us to notice, and the reason I didn't use Luke's account, where Luke puts great emphasis on the details and Mark puts great emphasis on the details of the difficulty of them getting him before the feet of Jesus. I thought of another sermon subject one time that I heard from this particular text, and I think it was entitled The Breaking Up of the Clay or The Removing of the Clay. That's important too, isn't it? Isn't it important for us to get the clay out of the way? I've often thought as I was reading this story how many of our church members would be, man, those four guys up there are making a mess in our house. Listen, we need a major on the major and minor on the minor. Getting people to Jesus is more important than the mess it creates. Getting the clay out of the way. Well, that particular sermon wasn't about church members, just, you know, the mess that was made in the room, removing the clay on the roof. But he was talking about us getting the clay out of the way. He was talking about the flesh and how that we need to get our flesh out of the way. Right? Pride and greed and sin of the flesh, we need to get it out of the way in order to have a revival. Getting the clay out of the way, that was another sermon title. I've heard a lot of sermons on this passage through the years. And I got to thinking about it and thinking back. I remember during the revivals in my youth, and you know, there were certain sermons that became classics during revival time. You remember those? The rich man and Lazarus? The coming of the Lord? I mean, these were like staples in revival services. It seemed like even though we had a spring revival and a fall revival, we heard a message about those during the spring. We heard a message about those during the fall. They were just, we constantly heard these messages during revival. And this one ranks right up in the top 10 of messages that are commonly preached during times of revival. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city, that city being Capernaum. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. Now we know that Mark's account, Luke's account, that there were four of them. Listen, getting people to Jesus is a combined effort. There needs to be a unity about us in getting people to the Lord. We need to be in sync with the Lord first, amen? We need to be spiritual. We need to be prayed up. We need to be where God can use us. We need to make sure that we don't get in the flesh. We need to make sure that when the Lord's leading us, He's really leading us, and we're not being led by emotion. Or by some zeal. I've seen this a lot of times during youth weekends. I think that sometimes our young people, they confuse zeal for the Lord, for the Spirit of the Lord. And we have to make sure it's the Spirit of the Lord and not the zeal of the Lord that's directing us to do something for the Lord. Now, I'm all for liberty. I believe when God's Spirit is in it, it needs to be said. It needs to be done. I will back you up 100% if God is in it. But listen, if you just want to hear yourself talk, there's other times for that.
Amen.
We want to get people the Lord. We bring our friends and our loved ones. We bring people into our church that know nothing about the Spirit of the Lord. And they're going to get a little frightened by that. They're not used to going to church and hearing it told straight to them from the pulpit. They're not used to people having liberty in their services. They're not used to the presence of God. And the devil is after them anyway. So we've got a lot of things against us. There's a lot of obstacles, a lot of barriers, just like these four that were trying to get this man to Jesus, and the house was full. They were ingenuous in what they did. They didn't stop there. They didn't say, well, we need to give up. There's no way we can get into Jesus today. The house is full. It's impossible. No, they sought out means to get him to Jesus. They used a little common sense. We need common sense in doing the work of the Lord. Don't tell me that we get in the Spirit and all common sense goes out the window. Huh? I don't believe that.
Amen.
There's a passage of Scriptures where Paul was talking to the church of Corinth that was getting all spazzed out with tongues and they were getting out of control in their worship service. And they wouldn't settle down. And they were driving away unbelievers. Paul was concerned about that. He said, you're driving away unbelievers. The people, they're unbelieving, they're coming in among you and they're saying that you're mad and they're not coming to Jesus. You're actually running them away from the Lord instead of bringing them to the Lord.
Amen.
Paul told them this one phrase. I want you to grasp it. This is very important. He said, the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. You study that out. See what it says on a personal level about God's workings among us.
We need to seek out means to get people to Christ. Amen?
Now, we live in a frustrating time. We really do. We live in a time of great difficulty. We need to be fighting on the grand scale against the devil and against the hypocrisies out there. We need to be fighting against the theological
hypocrisy. We need to fight against those wrong doctrines that are out there. We need to be standing for the truth. Amen? There's a lot of heresy that we are dealing with and we're confronting. And we know that there's a degree of competition involved in ministry and in pastoring and in churches. Y'all do realize that, don't you? I don't think it's appropriate for somebody to go into a missionary Baptist church and say, that's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. I think we ought to give our very best. Amen? Amen. We want not only the Lord glorified with what we're doing, but we want to come together and we want to do the very best that we can. I believe that's very important. Don't you? All of these things are an effort to bring people to the Lord. What we do, what we say, how we worship, all of these things. The preaching that's done, the testifying, the singing, the praying, all of it is important in getting people to Christ. Amen. They sought out means. I believe sinners getting saved is the most important thing we do as a church. I know we do a lot of other business. We have a lot of other things that we do. And our doctrines are important. Amen? Actually, having sound doctrine contributes to people getting saved. I believe that with all my heart. But they brought him, this man who was crippled or paralyzed, who was sick of the palsy. He was lying on a bed. He couldn't get there himself. None of us come to the Lord ourselves. We need help. We need the gospel preached. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. We need a church that's prayed up, full of the Spirit, that's on a target when it comes to doctrinal things, spiritual things. We need to be unified one with another, right? Like I preached last Sunday. And Brother Doug, there has been times I've gone home and said, those people didn't hear a word I said. I've done that. I did it last Sunday night after conference. It shouldn't be that way. When a message comes from God, it's from God. Amen. And listen, you're not, it's just like Samuel, you're not rejecting me. Listen, last thing we need is God to be angry with us. God to be upset with us. As a church, it's important for us to have the presence of the Lord. Y'all do feel that, don't you? Listen, I'm not a puppet up here. I'm not an entertainer. This thing's real to me. I need the help of God. I need the power of God. Last thing I need is for the Lord to lead me. I don't want to put that in jeopardy in any way, shape, or form. You don't either, do you? No, no. We want the Lord with us. Jesus told the seven churches of Asia, if they didn't straighten themselves up, He would remove the candlestick. People do not get saved in churches without the candlestick. Amen? Just telling you like it is. Listen, if you want somebody to tickle ears, they're easy to find. That's not my job. My job is to preach the word. We need to seek out means to get people to Christ. Now, I'm thankful for our music. I'm thankful for our song director. I'm thankful for your participation in singing and the gifts and talents that God has given this church. We are a blessed church. Amen? Just visit around if you don't think so. Just visit around. Could we do better? Yes, we could. We could always do better. I was listening to the radio and came across a congregation of African-Americans. Some of them don't even like to be called African-Americans. Some want to be called black. But a black church, African-American church. And man, were they singing. They were getting down. I mean, they had a choir that was just... I mean, I was listening to that and I got so filled up. And you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of how it used to be back in the days when we would have those big singing conventions. Y'all remember those? I mean, man, everybody was singing. They were singing on key. And man, there was just a power in that. And I got a blessing. I got to thinking about heaven and got to rejoicing. Listen, when we come together on Sunday is a Sabbath. And we're looking forward to the rest that we're going to have and we're going to experience when we get to heaven. But also there are other things that happen on Sunday where we also ought to be able to reflect that this is something like how it's going to be when we get to heaven. The unity, the presence of the Lord, meeting with the people of God, all those things. Seeking out means to get people to Christ. Well, we're going to have to witness. We're going to have to talk about the Lord. Amen. We need to. Do you know somebody in your life that's lost? Somebody at work that's lost? How easy is it for us to give up? These guys had some tenacity. They had some persistency. And I believe that's what faith is. Faith has a persistency about it. But you know, it wasn't just busyness. It wasn't just a busyness about it. Listen, we must have faith in the Lord. We need to believe that if we can get them to the Lord Jesus Christ, that He can deliver them, that He can save them. Now, there was a social stigma that day that prevailed, where that somebody who was sick must have sinned. You remember the 9th chapter of John, where the disciples came to Jesus and asked Him about the blind man? Who sinned? Did his parents sin? Did he sin? Somebody in his family sin? There was a stigma associated or attached to illness in that day, where they automatically attached sin to any sickness. And listen, indirectly it is. All sickness is a result of our sins. That's why it's so important for your sins to be forgiven. When your sins are forgiven, it takes care of all the sickness. You say, well, how? Well, we're going to a place where we'll never die, right? We're going to heaven, and only those people that have their sin debts canceled go to heaven. Sought out means to get him to Jesus. He was sin sick. He was sin sick. I think that's the reason, as we go through this, all I want you to pay attention to is what Jesus saw and what He said. That's my message. What He saw and what He said. And I think the two are inseparably linked. He needs to see our faith. Amen. He needs to see His people exercising faith. I suppose next time that you're praying over somebody that's sick, I want you to think about this. Not just ask the Lord to heal them or help them, but how much do you believe? You know, Peter walked on the water by faith. The walls of Jericho fell by faith. By faith, many great and wonderful things were done. I mean, faith can stop the mouth of lions. Y'all do believe that, don't you? Many, many times, even in the 9th chapter, Jesus will say to somebody, well, just be it according to your faith. To what degree you believe will be your circumstance. That's in essence what He says. See, it's not just the prayer that saves the sick. James said it is the prayer of faith that heals the sick. Y'all do believe that, don't you? How much faith? It's not just praying, it's believing. Amen? The church needs to have a greater degree of faith in what the Lord can do and what He will do. The Lord Jesus Christ needs to look off His lofty throne and see our faith. We want Him to see our works. We want Him to see our singing. We want Him to see our preaching. We want Him to see our praying. But He's looking for people who have faith. I think it's peculiar, not peculiar, but important that He said that before the world ends, there'll still be some faith here. He didn't say church. Now, we conclude from that there'll be a church here. But He basically said what He'll see in that church is a group of people who have faith in Him. How strong is your faith on a scale of 1 to 10? 2? 3? 4? 8? Anybody here have a 10 faith? I mean, you're maxed out? You're at the top? I think all of us could say what the disciples said several times in there as they walked with the Lord and learned of the Lord. Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith!
Oh, Lord, increase our faith. If I had one prayer to pray today, it would be, Lord, increase our faith. Because if we had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, we could say to that mountain, be thou moved, or that sycamore tree, be thou plucked up and cast in the sea. I believe the power of faith. Don't you?
He saw their faith. Let's notice in this verse.
Jesus seeing their faith.
Now, just, I don't want you to get the idea that people are saved by proxy. Our faith won't save somebody. They have to have faith themselves.
He not only saw the faith of those that carried the man, that took up the tiles off the roof and lowered him. Are you holding a rope?
I mean, he saw their faith. Somebody, they were holding the rope for the man. Somebody's got to be holding the rope.
They lowered him at the feet of Jesus. But it wasn't just seeing their faith. They were lowering him before the feet of Jesus. He also saw the faith of the man that was sick of palsy. Amen. He saw his faith. And I believe with all of my heart that a man, his main desire, his main concern was the sin. I mean, he was thinking about the sin. It was the stigma of the day. Everybody that looked at him was questioning whether or not he had sinned. And so I guess he had sinned. All have sinned. Amen? We all need our sins forgiven. But the sin issue was the main concern of his. And that's why Jesus responded. And this is what he said. He said, son, be of good cheer. I said, if we just get people to Jesus, everything will be all right. He'll do the rest. Amen? You be of good cheer. Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee.
Listen, that's the door to heaven right there. People's sins being forgiven. And nobody receives the forgiveness of sin without repentance. I believe this man had repentance. Amen?
He was repenting of sin. That was his main concern. He wanted his sins canceled. I believe he was laying there on that bed, still sick of the palsy, knowing that his sin debt was canceled. This is a story not about a man just getting up and walking. This is a man getting saved by the grace of God. He got saved right there. Amen? His sins were forgiven right there, and then that man was saved. Now, I do believe with all of my heart, every time that Jesus forgave somebody of their sins, he thought of the cross. He was going to have to cancel that sin by his death on the cross. That he was going to have to make the payment for that sin. That he was going to have to bear that sin on the cross. Every time he forgave somebody of sin, he thought of his destination. He thought of his place there on the cross to atone for that sin. Listen, all sin is atoned by the blood of Jesus and the blood of Jesus alone. So he had the cross in mind and in view every time he forgave somebody of sin.
He said, now this, you know, you talk about authority, you talk about deity. They go on and they say only God can do this, and that's right. Jesus is God. And he can not only calm the sea, he can not only heal the sick, he can forgive sin. You go on, and like I said, there's a progression. The next thing is you read on in this ninth chapter, he also raises the dead. There was a man that said, my daughter is dead. You know, come lift her up. Come bring her back to life. And he does that. He can do that. He will raise the dead. He has that authority. He is deity. He is God. And he forgave sin. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Now listen, there's a lot of things that frustrate our faith. There's a lot of clay tiles that need to be torn down. There's a lot of obstacles and multitudes and difficulties in the way of us getting people to Jesus. But we need to have faith. Amen? Our faith will energize us. Our faith will help us have the victory. What did John say? This is our victory over the world. What is our victory over the world? How can we have victory over the world? What did John say? Even our faith. Faith. We live by faith. We walk by faith. We have victory by faith. You know, one of my main ministries, and I believe it was the ministry of the Lord, and what he did to try to encourage the Jews, Israel, was to develop and encourage and energize their faith. My preaching, I hope, will energize your faith. I want you to have more faith now than you did at the beginning of the service. I want you to have faith, more faith at the end of the service than you had at the beginning of the service. Listen, people, there's power in faith. There's nothing that we cannot accomplish if we would believe. Faith brought this man to Jesus. Faith did. Faith did. Jesus did not say, I see the rope, I see the tile, I see the tenacity, I see the strength, I see the ingenuity of these men. No, 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 no. He saw their faith. Saw their faith. And the man that got to the feet of Jesus, he forgave. Listen, forgiveness is the greatest thing you'll ever experience. If you've never been forgiven of sin by the blood of Jesus, you need to be. And if you'll get to the feet of Jesus, He will forgive you. Y'all believe that? Yeah. If you read on this ninth chapter about the lady touching the hem of His garment, if you'll just believe and you'll reach out and you'll touch the hem of His garment, He will save you. All of your sin will be gone. Praise God. We serve that kind of Jesus. A Jesus that has the authority and the capacity to forgive you of all of your sins. Wow. That's why His superiority is so important to us, right? That's why we put Him first and we preach Him, we teach Him, we elevate Him, we exalt Him, we point people to Him, because it's through Him we have eternal life. Listen, we can't even please God without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We cannot serve God. We cannot work for God. We cannot preach for God. We cannot pray. We cannot sing unless we have faith. We can't have a revival. We can't see people saved. We can't see those things that we need to see done unless we have faith. We need to have an increased faith among us. Seeing their faith. The man had faith. He had repentance. I like what Paul said in the 13th chapter of Acts. In verse 38, he said, let it be known unto you, brethren, that through Him, or through Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sin is proclaimed unto you. That's why we preach Jesus. That's why we lift up Jesus. Paul said in Ephesians 1 and 7, one of my favorite verses, in Him, that is in Christ, the beloved one, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. The Bible says we've all trespassed. We've all sinned. But we have the forgiveness of our trespasses through Him, through Jesus. Praise God, through His blood. Forgiveness is the greatest thing we've ever experienced, and one of the greatest things we've ever known. The question is this morning, and I'm about done. Have you heard those words? Have you felt those words? Do you know those words of Jesus as He spoke to this man sick of the palsy? Thy sins, your sins. Do you remember the day when He saved you? Amen. I mean, Jesus has the power. He has the authority. He has the capacity of taking your sins and removing them as far as the east is from the west. He will cast them over His back into the sea of forgetfulness, and they'll never be remembered again. Thy sins be forgiven thee. That's where revival begins, right? When people's sin debt is canceled, permanently canceled. If you're here this morning, get a song there, and I want us to sing. I appreciate you listening to me. God bless you. I love this. Part of what Jesus saw and what He said. He's seeing their faith, said, thy sins be forgiven thee. I want to encourage parents. I want you to listen to me. If you have children in your home that's lost, I want you to get on your knees somewhere and not just pray, but I want you to exercise faith. I want you to believe. I want you to trust. I want the Lord to look down off His lofty throne and look into your home and your heart like He looked in their hearts and He saw their faith. If you're a grandparent, you've got grandchildren that are lost, if you've got somebody that's sick, needs help, needs deliverance, needs healing, the prayer of the faith, the prayer of faith shall heal the sick. Isn't that what it says? Read it in James. Yeah. Not just a prayer, but a prayer of faith. We've got to believe, people. We've got to increase our faith. We've got to believe that God is going to do great and mighty things. Many, many times He said, and I'm repeating myself, but many, many times He said, so be it according to your faith. He goes on and says in the 9th chapter, He says in many different instances of our own lives, and He says it as He looks off His throne at His church many times. Church, it's going to be to the same level of revival as it is your faith. I believe God can do great things. And He's going to do great things. I don't believe that He only can, but that He will. Amen? If we can just get the lost to Jesus, and we're going to, Brother John and I are going to do everything in our power to do that, aren't we, John? We're going to do everything in our power to lift up Jesus. Make the focus of Jesus. Get people to Jesus. Get them before the feet of Jesus with the gospel. Amen? But I hope He sees our faith as a church. And then He'll say, He has to be the one that forgives, right? He'll say, thy sins be forgiven thee. Let's stand and sing, God bless you is my prayer. Jesus still has the power to forgive sin. What He saw and what He said. Saw their faith and said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Listen, sinner friend, if you've never exercised faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, do it today.